This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good to have you alongside as we cruise through the back half of the work week. Man, I still think that one of the weirdest phenomena of this spring has been my perception of time. And Kurt Busch mentioned it on our last night's show in our interview, where he said it feels like the weeks are flying by and yet there's nothing on the calendar. And for me, it feels like the days are crawling when I'm in the middle of them. And then I look up and it's the end of May. Oh my goodness. I can't really get a grasp on it. Is time flying or is it crawling? And at times it feels like the former and other times it feels like the latter, but it is nearly the month of June, which blows me away. No matter how I try to wrap my brain around it, I can't really. And so I'm grateful for a lot of things this spring. One of those being that you guys have hung with us and you continue to listen to the show, and we're thrilled to hear from you on our regular nightly, or if you listen in the morning editions of After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's see. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. In 15 minutes, my conversation with former Giants linebacker and Super Bowl champ, as well as activist and advocate, Mark Herzlich. He's a cancer survivor, too, and really that's how the sports world was introduced to him when he got to the NFL. He's a BC alum, a Boston College alum, and just a really cool person to talk to. And has such an incredible perspective because of everything he's been through in his life. So Mark Herzlich, coming up in 15 minutes here on CBS Sports Radio. If you want to weigh in about this baseball conundrum, and that's using a word that I feel like it's kind of neutral. It's right down the middle. I'll let you form your own opinions. But I've seen a lot of people either say or write that if baseball can't get it together, that this will sever the last tie that some fans have with the game. That they're already kind of lukewarm on baseball anyway. And we know baseball has lost a lot of fans, or I should say has failed to connect with a new generation of fans. This certainly doesn't help. And again, no one in theory wants to take a pay cut. Nobody does. But many of us have. Why? Well, because having a job and getting paid less money is still better than having no job. Having a job and taking a pay cut is still better than your company closing its doors. In a baseball lens, having a job and making less money, even if it's far less money, is still preferable to not playing the season at all. And as I say, we're talking about pay cuts that would affect those guys at the very upper echelon of the pay scale far more than the guys who are at the lowest paid. So the pay cuts would be far less severe for those guys who are making minimum wage. Baseball's minimum wage. And the example, the guy at the very top of the food chain when it comes to salaries in baseball, Mike Trout. Under the proposal, it's not even a proposal, under the agreement that they already have, baseball would only be paid for the games played. All right, so they're not going to get paid their full salaries because they're not going to play a full season. Duh. That's a no-brainer. So Mike Trout, under the prorated scale, let's say there's 82 games, would make about $19 million if nothing changes. $19 million and change if nothing else changes about their pay scale. He would drop from that to under $6 million if the union agreed to the owner's pay cuts. And I get it. Well, I mean, I get it in theory. This is monopoly money for me. That's a lot of freaking money to lose. It is. But you know what else is a lot of money? $6 million. Mike Trout's the extreme example. Gerrit Cole, Max Scherzer, Nolan Arenado. These are extreme examples. Bryce Harper, Manny Machado. This is the upper echelon of baseball salaries. Most of these guys aren't dropping from $19 million to $6 million. But that's why it's so hard for fans to identify. Because how many of us would sign up right now for 1 year of making $6 million bucks? Are you kidding me? I could live on $6 million bucks for the rest of my life. I mean, I would still work, but I could make that $6 million stretch for the rest of my life. So could Mike Trout if he needed to. And that's the part that is disgusting, really. And that's why baseball fans are frustrated. Not every guy's in the same boat. There are guys who maybe are only scheduled to make $1 million and would drop well below that. But I suspect that the majority of you who are listening, and that includes your radio host as well, we would take six figures, any kind of six figures. And so it's hard for us to identify and relate. The fight really is not so much about the numbers. It's more about the theory of taking a pay cut and such a severe pay cut and the players feeling like they shouldn't have to absorb so much of the risk when the owners have far more, much more revenue and income and a buffer than they do. But as people have said over and over again, who wants to hear millionaires fighting with billionaires over money? It's a perception, but it's a very strong perception, a very widely kept perception that all athletes, all pro athletes, make millions. And this is not helping. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, we mentioned we're going to pivot and talk a little football here. So I have been kind of sitting on this idea for a show question, and Baker Mayfield made it easy for me to present it to you. This is the first time he's doing an off-season press conference, and maybe the only time he's doing an off-season press conference, at least until they would get into OTAs or into training camp where media has access to the players. But he says he's a different guy. The spring has changed him and that he's going into the 2020 season with an entirely new perspective.
When things do open up again, hopefully soon, that we'll take advantage of those opportunities because you only get so many in this game of football that I've been blessed to play. It doesn't last forever. And so to be able to take advantage of that and, you know, enjoy the moments, I think is going to be good for me.
When there's a possibility that you lose what you love through no control of your own, you tend to not take it for granted. And we're hearing that from NASCAR drivers who are now racing in empty tracks, empty racetracks, empty arenas, because they'll never take those fans for granted again. Even if they didn't, now it really reinforces the idea that, man, the fans are everything. And you can imagine where football players find themselves. The NFL is committed to moving forward like a freight train and having a season come hell or high water, but it could be without fans, and there's no guarantee. I mean, there's no guarantee of anything in 2020, but all this talk about how the football season could be wiped out as well, you can imagine many of them are probably nervous about it and considering the possibility of losing an entire year when the average NFL career doesn't even last 4 years. Now, one of the things that I have said in the past about Baker, but also about the Browns, and it seems like at least last season, it started with Freddie Kitchens and it trickled down, but Baker's a guy who's been known to talk. Now, I'm not saying he can't put his money where his mouth is. He normally can. Last season, not so much. Although it's not entirely on him what went wrong with the Browns. But my theory is don't run your mouth unless you can back it up. And last year, the Browns ran their mouths a lot. And then when it came time to get on the field, couldn't back it up. And so this is another piece of the changed perspective from the Browns quarterback.
I have a different approach to this year. I think it's everybody that has been interviewed in our team has kind of, you know, hit the nail on the head over and over about, you know, it's just time to work. It's time to do our thing instead of talking about it. This is the first media thing I've done just because there's no need to be talking about it. It's just time to go do it.
Amen, brother. I hear that. But he's optimistic. Okay, so he was asked about looking ahead to the season. He was asked about his attitude, and he's staying hopeful, and he's believing in what they're doing.
I'm staying optimistic because the world needs sports. We need to, you know, be safe with that in mind. But I think hopefully soon it'll start to open up, and we'll have football back again because I know I need something to watch on TV right now. It'd be great to watch the playoffs and basketball. So it's good to hear the news that other sports are attempting that. And I think that's the blessing in disguise about football having a later start in the season. So we get to, you know, see how people handle it, how it goes before we really have to make any rash decisions.
Yeah, that point has been made over and over. And you can imagine that Roger Goodell and the owners are infinitely grateful for the way that this happened through no work or magic or attempts on their own. Just so happens the pandemic really gripped the United States at a time when the NFL could, in fact, operate remotely and has done so amazingly well. Baker Mayfield, Cleveland Browns quarterback, with his first and maybe only Zoom call of this offseason. Actually, I don't know if it was Zoom. It could have been a different video conference. But here's my question in light of these first comments, only comments from Baker. Which team is poised to make the greatest jump forward or up, if you prefer, in 2020. I'm going to be optimistic like Baker. There will be a season. Which one of the teams in the NFL, and we see it every year, teams go worst to first. I suppose we could do a question about the opposite too, but we won't. We're going to stay optimistic. Which teams in the NFL are poised to make the greatest leap? Whether you want to measure it in wins, whether you want to measure it with a playoff spot, whether you're thinking division title, which teams in the NFL are poised to make the greatest gains, the greatest leaps, potentially go from basement to penthouse in 2020. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and producer Chris will put up a spot on our show Twitter, also on our Facebook page, Easy Peasy, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Straight ahead, former Giants linebacker and Super Bowl champ Mark Herzlick. And think about it, could the Giants be poised to make the greatest gains in 2020? Cool conversation with Mark because he's a cool cat, and you'll hear it next.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The voice of Aaron Donald, recent NFL Defensive Player of the Year, he seems dead set on playing football games without fans, but it could happen in 2020, so much that we don't know about the football season upcoming. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Pleased to spend some time with Mark Herzlick, former Giants linebacker and Super Bowl champion, and I really do like asking members of the football fraternity the question about the fans. Mark, could you imagine being in a gigantic football stadium and playing a game and not having anyone in the seats?
Well, so it's funny because, you know, I played a few games in college where we barely had any fans. You know, certain times, you know, where either we weren't good or we played someone who wasn't very good. You know, the ACC kind of, you know, goes either way, where you could have tons of fans of Virginia Tech, but you go down to Wake Forest and there's barely anyone there. So, you know, I've played in those environments and they are weird. And, you know, I couldn't imagine it in the NFL, really, because, I mean, there's just like, there's always a hum, right? There's always, even if it's not a big roar or anything, but there's always people there. And I think that, you know, certain teams would really be, you know, hurt by it. Obviously, New Orleans and Kansas City, two of like the loudest places I've ever played.
So, all right. So if we get to that point and it requires pumped in crowd noise, Mark, I know that's a staple for practices. Would that be weird, do you think? Or do you think that eventually teams would get used to it?
Right. Teams will get used to it. I mean, in reality, the amount of time that, you know, when you're actually playing football that you even realize that there's fans in the stands is minimal, right? Like, you know, maybe after a scoring play or you know, you're getting yelled at on the sideline, on the bench or something by somebody, then you realize they're there. But for the most part, you know, you just kind of focus on what's happening on the field. So I think guys will get used to it. I think it'd just be, you know, it'll be unfortunate, but at the same time, would much, much rather have there be football and no fans. I just don't know how you do that. I don't know how you say, hey, it's not safe for fans, but we're going to have, you know, 22 guys go and bump into each other and sweat all over each other and bleed on each other. I don't know how that's possible.
Yeah, it is interesting. You do both college and pro football analysis, so which would be stranger? Which would take away from the atmosphere more, the NFL or college?
I think college would take away more. I mean, I think the ability for, you know, NFL and the networks to make games look amazing on TV, I think it's there, right? You know, you can see all the camera angles, you can kind of see everything. But I think one thing that makes the college game so special is the students, right? You get like the students, and you have the traditions and the stands and the tailgating. So I just think that, you know, it's more atmospherical, if that's even a word, in the college game than, you know, in the pros. And you know, gosh, I guess I couldn't even imagine a Penn State Michigan game without 100,000 people there. I mean, that would be insane.
Or Ohio State and the Horseshoe, or some of the, you know, like the Florida, Georgia, or anything like that. It would just feel so empty. For sure. Atmospherical. I like it. It's a new word created by Mark.
Yeah, you like that?
I do. Mark Herzlick, a former Giant, as well as now an analyst for NFL and college. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So that's one issue that the football world is kind of dealing with, though it's a bit down the road, which is nice. What are the challenges of trying to learn a playbook or trying to get acclimated as a rookie or even joining a new team? We found out recently that Joe Flacco is now a member of the New York Jets. So whatever it is, what are the challenges of doing this without being able to see your peeps in person?
Well, I think, first of all, obviously there's a challenge. It's different. It's interesting. I equated a little bit to back in going into the 2011 season when the NFL was having a lockout. I mean, at this point right now where we are, you know, still in what would be spring football, you know, we're not in uncharted territories. You know, there was no spring football. There was, you know, no communication at all in those times. And so, you know, I came in to the New York Giants as a rookie that year. So I literally didn't even know I was going to be a New York Giant until July. And that's when we got our playbooks the first day at camp. And so, you know, I think that there is a blueprint for how this could go if you miss all of spring. And so, yeah, I know right now, you know, I've talked to a couple of the strength coaches that around the league. You know, they say it's difficult because right now, you know, you don't know what equipment guys have access to. You know,
right.
They're professional athletes, but, you know, a lot of them rely on being at facilities to work out. So, you know, every single training regimen is specifically customized to each specific player. You know, I talked to one college coach who said that he has his linebacker squatting his German Shepherd because that's the heaviest thing that he can find in his house.
That's insane. So, you know,
yeah, so I mean, I think that right now you can see everything happen normally, right? But I think if you start getting into that training camp and eating away at that, it's going to be, you know, really difficult for the young guys, but even, you know, even the vets to just get in football shape mentally and physically.
Mm. Is there one side of the ball that might have an advantage if, let's say, training camps are interrupted or they don't get in person until August, potentially? Is it the defense or the offense that would have the greatest advantage or the greatest disadvantage, I guess?
Absolutely defense. I mean, defense is – anytime you have the first scrimmage in training camp, the defense dominates. I don't care what team you are. I don't care whether you know, you're the number one rated offense in the league or Tom Brady or Drew Brees or whatever. Defense wins just because so much about the offense is timing. And just at the end of the day on defense, if you don't know what you're doing and you get the old, like, you know, hound dog mentality, like see ball, get ball, I'm just going to go tackle anything that's moving, usually you're right. So, I mean, I think that defense – defensive coaches love, like, short weeks, right? You're like, let's just throw the game plan out and go and just tackle the guys because the offense can't put in all these trick plays and stuff. So, I mean, that's my answer, plain and simple. I know I'm a defender and a linebacker, former linebacker, so, you know, I usually side that way. But, yeah, it's easier to just go hit someone on defense.
I guess if nothing else, as you say, you see the ball, you go after it, but you just hit somebody. Hit anybody.
Yeah, hit anybody. And if you put someone on their rear end and they can't do their job, that's a win. I mean, you'll probably get graded a plus. So, I mean, that's always a good thing.
Mark Herzlick is a former Giant Super Bowl champ and now a football analyst with us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I want to talk about the safety a little bit, Mark. You're a cancer survivor. It's not as though every professional athlete, while they're in world-class shape, that they don't also have other health challenges. There are different guys in different positions. When you think about the safety of being back on the football field, and as you say, blood and sweat's flying around, what are your concerns?
Well, I think that, you know, the biggest concern is that you see right now that I guess age matters, right? But at the same time, you see cases of 30, 31, 32-year-old people getting this illness with no prior history and then passing away. I mean, yeah, I think that it's so erratic in the way it affects different people that becomes the fear. I mean, you know, God forbid, you know, a fan comes to a game and gets it and passes away, or you know, a player gets it from being at the facility, and then what happens? So, you know, I think that there is a fine balance that, you know, will have to be towed between, you know, safety of really everybody involved and, you know, the willingness to go out and play. And I think that, you know, it's a decision that's going to have to come down to not only in the NFL, the owners, but also the union, right? I mean, they can't just say, hey, we're going to go play football again. And then, you know, the labor union, you know, it's got to be like, well, it's not safe. Like, how is that safe? Or maybe they both decide that they're going to. But, you know, I think it's much less of a one-sided deal. So, you know, I think everybody wants the same thing. Everybody wants this to go away and us to go play football again. But, you know, we'll see how soon that happens.
Well, for the players that you've spoken with, maybe former teammates, just kind of the pulse, at this point, do you think the majority of guys do want to play and would be willing to take whatever risk comes with it?
I think, first of all, everybody wants to play. And I think that everybody's proceeding right now like they are going to play. And okay, I think that's the only way to do it when you're actually in it. But I think, you know, the same way guys feel differently about, you know, concussions, the same way guys feel differently about, you know, playing on different types of fields that, you know, hey, if I play on this messed up field, and I tear my ACL, I'm, you know, I might never be able to play again. It's, you know, if I go and get COVID and get seriously ill from this, like, will I miss the season and never be able to play again? I mean, I think it's going to be a personal decision, but I think, yes, most of the guys, you know, want to play. I think that it's going to see how much they can mitigate that risk.
Mm. Mark, you were a giant for your career, and the Giants have gone through, you know, some transformation. In fact, a couple rounds over the last couple of seasons here. But what did you like from Daniel Jones when you saw him on the field once he took over for Eli?
I mean, I loved his accuracy. I mean, I watched him play in college. I got to call one of his games when he was at Duke, and you know, we knew he was tough. You know, we knew that he was a big guy. You know, we knew that he was smart, but how accurate was he going to be in college? Because he doesn't have the strongest. I mean, it's not like he throws a zip on the pass every single time, but he just like seems to drop it right in the bucket every time. You know, I kind of think of it like, you know, someone's throwing darts, right? And you talk about quarterbacks throwing darts all the time, and then you know, it just seems like Daniel Jones is playing beer pong almost. I mean, it's like he like just like drops that right in the bucket every single time, right in that back left solo cup, and he does it so well. And you know, I think that's what was most exciting for me, is that you know, there is a really rare talent to be able to throw a gentle pass on target, right? And your completion percentage goes up when you can do that, because it's easier to catch on the back end for guys. But I think what quarterbacks struggle with is when you don't have that zip, when it's time to force it in there, you know, how can you do it? So I think, you know, that's going to be his development process. Some of those crossing routes over the middle, how can you force those in when he needs to?
The Giants have a new head coach, and he, you know, he's a younger guy. He's been in coaching for 15 years, and he's got, you know, other coaches like Bill Belichick and Nick Saban singing his praises. How much does it matter in a locker room if he comes from a program? I mean, he's a new coach, so everyone's getting to know him, but comes from a program that has a winning tradition and that has produced rings.
I mean, I think it matters. I think that the question right off the bat is, did he get this job because he was with a winning organization, or is he a great coach? And those can be mutually exclusive, but they don't have to be, right? So, you know, the hope is that not only was he with an winning organization, but he's also a great coach. And I think that you find that out pretty quickly when you're in the locker room with him. Anytime you're a first-time head coach, there's going to be just learning phases. So, you know, my impression of him was, you know, I met him a couple times and talked to him, just basic football stuff. But, you know, I talked to some guys who were in the locker rooms, not necessarily wide receivers at the Patriots, but, you know, were around him. And they said that he's got a brain for it. I mean, he just knows football really well. And yeah, I think the real question that we are going to remain to be seen is, you know, how does he treat discipline matters? How does he do logistically in the office? I mean, you know, a lot of times coordinators, you know, become great head coaches when they can not only know football well, but know how to manage people well, right? And that's what sometimes, you know, great coordinators don't make at the head coaching level, because they don't have that CEO quality that you need as a head coach in the NFL.
Right. Former Giants linebacker Mark Herzlich also was at Boston College, and so is now doing the analysis for both NFL and the college game, because we're going to have football this fall. I'm believing it. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Before I let you go, people know you for the work that you do in your community with a couple of different charities, and I know that this is a challenging spring for really anybody and anything that we want to do, but how has it affected the work that you do with your charitable organizations?
Yeah, so, you know, on the board of a few different charities, and, you know, one being actually Tom Coughlin's J Fund, which is, you know, raises money for families who have children battling pediatric cancer. And, you know, obviously that becomes a real issue with a health pandemic out there. But you know, we've been able to do some Instagram live videos and see some of these kids and write them letters and send them videos, which I think has been, you know, really cool, as this whole like home video thing is the norm now. And then, you know, the other two that I'm on the board of, A Call to Men is one of them, and the Joyful Heart Foundation. They're both domestic violence prevention charities, and what we've seen is that domestic violence rates have just skyrocketed during the pandemic, because everyone is at home. You know, there's no escape. There's, you know, there's people just, you know, taking their anger out on their spouses or their domestic partners. And, you know, there's not an easy outlet for people to go, because everyone's trapped. So I think, you know, we've been trying, you know, kind of as hard as we can to provide outlets for people to report domestic violence. And then, you know, as you said, raising money right now is difficult. Obviously, you know, there's a financial downturn in the economy, but also, you know, we can't do events. And so, you know, donations are absolutely welcome. And, you know, the biggest thing is to try to keep people safe from things like, you know, a domestic partner violence when, you know, everybody's locked in their house.
A lot of different ways to be on the front lines during a situation that affects so many hundreds of millions of people. You can find Mark on Twitter, and there's ways to get in touch there and find more information at Mark Herzlich. And I think we've crossed paths before in like my previous life and previous stops, but it's great to have you on the show and to hear your perspective, Mark. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, thank you. I had a great time, and hopefully I'll be on again.
Absolutely. And one of the reasons I like talking to Mark is because he's a guy that's not just about football, and he brings humor and he brings perspective and he's well connected, but he also is working in his community in a variety of different ways. As a cancer survivor, he understands perspective and what really matters in life. So awesome to talk to Mark. Do you all remember how I tagged out of the show last night? If you didn't remember or didn't catch it, don't you worry. We've got it on tape. I couldn't fix it last night, but I'm going to replay it and make fun of myself once we get through our break.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Wow, that was a long time ago, wasn't it? And yet the tradition continues, even when Roger Goodell is announcing the picks from his basement. He still manages to have a moment or two where he gets the pronunciation wrong. But who am I to talk? I just accidentally called Mark Herzlich by the wrong name. So, you know, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Marcus Mariotto. I can't say it without laughing. He is no longer a Titans quarterback. Now he is a member of the Las Vegas Raiders. I said it right. I mean, it's one thing I did right. I said it right. But I'm still tempted to call them the Oakland Raiders, to be sure. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's good to have you on board, especially those of you who've discovered us on our New York affiliate, WFAN AM 660. It's an iconic heritage station that goes way, way, way back in the world of sports talk radio. And then the FM affiliate, 101.9 FM. We are thrilled to have you for a couple of hours in New York City, and we'll see how long that tradition continues. It may be a short tradition, but I appreciate our boss for giving us the opportunity to add another affiliate to our network show. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Could it be the Raiders who make the greatest leap in 2020? Or could it be the Titans? Now, we know the Titans went all the way to the AFC Championship and actually had a lead against the Chiefs in the AFC Championship. Who didn't have a lead against the Chiefs last year in the playoffs? Pretty much everybody. And yet, look, it was still the Chiefs that were standing at the end. But the Titans, with that run game spurred on by Derrick Henry and with the efficient quarterback play of Ryan Tannehill, who is now the man of the hour in Nashville, and then with that defense, hard nose, smash mouth, really physical, Mike Vrabel style, blue collar, so to speak, the Titans were 9-7 last year, and they were a wild card out of the AFC South, and they surprised a lot of teams. But could they make a jump and potentially challenge the Texans for the division title? Now, the Texans, I think if you ask a lot of people, are maybe not poised to make a leap. They're poised to drop. But that's our question for the night. Which NFL team, based on what they've done this offseason, is poised to make the greatest leap in 2020? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS, our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. You can also respond on Twitter A-Law Radio and on our Facebook page. And you're blowing up our Facebook page. I've seen a lot of different answers there, so I'm going to go through those too. But I'd also appreciate your phone calls. It's fun to talk to other live voices down the line. 855-212-4CBS. But I did promise you some self-deprecation, and since I didn't have a chance to talk about it as I was finishing last night's show, and since some of you who are listening right now may not have heard the very last seconds of the show, it would have been Tuesday night's show, but into Wednesday morning. So wrapping up, whether you're in the Pacific time zone, it would have been 3 a.m. Pacific. Whether you're on the East Coast, 6 a.m. Pacific. It was just before the top of the hour. And I was once again applauding the NHL. This was my final thought, applauding the NHL and wondering what else would come next. We'll see what other suits follow sport. We're back with you tonight after hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom! Wait, Dave, could you play it again, please? Just because I want to make sure everyone heard what brilliant new cliche I came up with. We'll see what other suits follow sport. We're back with you tonight after hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom! At least we got the boom in there. So here's my thought process. I am, of course, trying to say, she speaks for a living. I am, of course, trying to say, we'll see what other sports follow suit. But as very often happens with me, I have my brain in one place and my mouth doing something else. My brain and my mouth are not in sync. So I'm thinking ahead because I'm hearing at this time, it was producer Chris counting down. I'm hearing the music. I'm knowing I have a handful of seconds. I'm trying to get this thought out. And so my brain is already way ahead of where my mouth is. And it comes out wrong, of course. The problem is I don't have any time to fix it. I can't, because if I go back and fix it, I will miss, we call it a hard out at the top of the hour, meaning I'll get cut off right mid-syllable, mid-word, right in the middle of my thought, because that's what happens. Our affiliates around the country, when they get to this hard out, boom, we're done, and they cut us off. And so if I'm still talking, you won't hear it anyway. So in lieu of fixing my mistake, I was mostly hoping nobody would notice. That wasn't the case. I did get some tweets, and I just went ahead and made fun of myself, the words I juxtaposed. Like I said, it happens a lot. I'll switch words or syllables up or even names because I'm thinking one thing and saying something else. And I would tell you it's an acquired skill because it is an acquired skill, but I don't always do it very well. It's what happens when your brain is overactive like mine. Anyway, we'll see what other suits follow sport. I know, I'm a dork. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. But would you like to know what this dork did on Wednesday? I promised to tell you about my adventures in lawn care. I have one lawnmower. I have 2 yards to mow right now because I am still renting a home and I've just purchased my first little plot of land, my first little slice of heaven. If you didn't see the flowers that are in my front flower bed, I tweeted the photo. Maybe I'll put it up on Facebook too, but oh my goodness. I showed up there on Wednesday afternoon and these flowers are just blooming in my front yard and they make me so happy. Anyway, I have one lawnmower. I was so proud of myself, Zena Amazon woman. I picked up this mower and put it into my back seat. And then, even though I'm not an engineer, figured out how to close the door with the window open so the handle was sticking out the door, but it was secure enough that it wasn't going to be flying all over the place, right? So I'm really proud of myself. I get inside the handle. So, you know, it's a push mower and, you know, the handle's long and I stepped inside the handle. I lifted the mower up, put it into my car, and was able to get it to the house that I purchased. I mow the backyard. I mow the front yard. I meet some neighbors. I pick up the mower. I put it back into my car. And then I turn around and I look and I realize I've forgotten to mow the median between the sidewalk and the street. Yeah, my back was already hurting from picking up the damn mower, so I did not take the mower out of the car. No, I did not. I left it in there. So now, as the neighbors walk by, the front yard is perfectly manicured, but the median has got weeds and tall grass in it. Great. way to go, AIM. But I couldn't even bear the thought of taking it out of my car again. I thought I was Xena, Amazon woman. Instead, it turns out that I'm too old to be lifting mowers in and out of my vehicle. Once, twice was enough. What NFL team stands to make the greatest leap in 2020?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.